Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 212 of Paranormal Stories. In this episode, I'm reading from Shannon Cain's book, Journey of an Eternal Soul, my journey through past lives to spiritual awakening. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to read from chapter 4, which is titled The Tapestry Reveals Itself, and this is what Shannon has written. The hypnotic state felt like sinking into warm honey, awareness expanding while physical sensation grew distant and dreamlike. LaDonna's voice became my anchor as consciousness drifted free from the constraints of linear time and ordinary reality. When the mists of transition cleared, I found myself standing in a Brazilian jungle in 1923, the humid air thick enough to taste. But I wasn't Shannon anymore, I was Manuel, and every cell in my body knew the weight of responsibility that pressed down on my shoulders like a physical burden. The protector's burden. The jungle around me pulsed with life and death in equal measures. Vines hung like serpents from trees so massive they seemed to hold up the sky itself. The air was heavy with moisture and the scents of a million growing things composting into earth. Every shadow could conceal an enemy. Every rustling leaf might signal attack. The rifle in my hands was warm from the humid air, its weight both comforting and terrible. This wasn't just a weapon. It was the thin line between my charge's survival and assassination. Mark walked ahead of me, an older political figure whose importance I felt in my bones, even if I couldn't fully understand it with my mind. When the attack came, it erupted from the green hell like a nightmare given form. Gunfire cracked through the humid air, birds exploded from the canopy in screaming clouds, and chaos descended with the sudden violence of a thunderstorm. I threw myself behind a massive tree, returning fire while searching desperately for Mark through the maze of vegetation and smoke. But in the confusion of battle, he panicked and ran deeper into the jungle, his white suit flashing between the trees like a surrender flag. The guilt that crashed over me was oceanic in its scope. I had failed. The one person I was sworn to protect had vanished into the green maze, and I couldn't follow without abandoning my position and probably dying in the process. When the bullets found me, shoulder, leg, torso, the physical pain was nothing compared to the spiritual agony of failure. As Manuel's life ebbed away in that hostile paradise, his last thoughts were of the man he'd failed to save. The farmer's love. The next lifetime materialized as a Swedish farm in what felt like medieval times. I was Akin now, standing in fields so green they hurt to look at, black soil rich enough to grow dreams. This is honest work, meaningful work, the kind that fed families and built communities one harvest at a time. My wife in that lifetime radiated the same energy I recognised from every incarnation, the soul that had been my anchor across centuries of separation and reunion. Our small stone house sat on a hill overlooking fields that stretched toward horizons painted with possibility. But even in this paradise of domestic bliss, responsibility weighed heavy. When the king's men came with their conscription orders, I had 3 days to say goodbye to everything that mattered. 3 days to somehow compress a lifetime of love into moments of desperate preparation. The war was a meaningless grinder of human lives, fought for causes I didn't understand, against enemies who looked remarkably like my neighbours back home. I died not from enemy action, but from pneumonia in a military hospital that was really just a barn with pretensions, coughing up pieces of my lungs while fever dreams showed me my wife giving birth alone. The regret was profound, not for dying, but for leaving them, for choosing duty to king over duty to family. That guilt followed me forward through lifetimes like a chain I couldn't break. The Healer's Triumph and Sorrow. Late 1800s New York materialized around me next. All gaslights and brick buildings, and the peculiar mixture of hope and desperation that defines urban ambition. I was Dr. Gestapo, a name that would later carry different connotations, but in this time and place simply meant a man dedicated to healing. My medical practice thrived in an era when doctors were part scientist, part priest, part magician. I had delivered hundreds of babies, guided souls safely from the warm darkness of the womb into the harsh light of existence. When the moment came to deliver my own daughter, the emotional intensity was overwhelming. She emerged covered in the evidence of her journey, the same soul I would recognize as my youngest daughter in my current lifetime, choosing me as her father across centuries of separation. Her first cry was like music composed in heaven, and her eyes held the wisdom of ages. But success became a prison. The more skilled I became, the more in demand my services were. The more money I earned, the more responsibilities accumulated. I would leave for the office before my daughter woke and return after she'd been put to bed, watching her grow up in stolen moments between patients. When death finally came, it found me in my office, surrounded by the tools of my trade and the symbols of my success, but alone. The regret was different from Akin's, but just as profound. Not the regret of being torn away from family, but the regret of choosing to stay away. The Witch's Persecution. Perhaps the most visceral lifetime manifested as Phyllis, a Scottish woman in the 1600s, living on the harsh edge of civilization, where superstition ruled with iron fists and knowledge was a capital crime. My cottage was more ruin than residence. Stone walls held together by mud and determination. A thatched roof that grew its own garden of weeds. But it was sanctuary for my sick son, whose fever I was treating with herbs gathered under moonlight when their power was strongest. The townspeople thought my healing knowledge came from unholy sources. When they came for me, it was with the righteous fury of people convinced they were doing God's work. They dragged me from my cottage like a sack of grain, my son's terrified cries echoing in my ears as they bound me with iron shackles. The journey to town was a nightmare of bumping and jarring, of breathing my own terror through rough burlap while the mob celebrated their capture of evil. When they bound me to the stake, I could smell the pyre before I could see it. Wood smoke and pitch, kindling soaked in oil for maximum effect. Even as the flames began to lick upward, my only thoughts were of my son, alone, sick, probably watching from some hidden place as they murdered his mother for the crime of keeping him alive. The fire was agony beyond description, but the spiritual torment of leaving him defenseless was infinitely worse. The soldier's shame. The most morally complex lifetime manifested as a Nazi officer during World War II, a reality so disturbing it challenged every assumption I had about the nature of good and evil, perpetrator and victim. I find myself in a medical facility that existed in the grey area between healing and horror. The same hands that had delivered babies as Dr. Gestapo now participated in atrocities that would stain human history forever. The clinical detachment required to function in this environment was a kind of spiritual death, but even in that hellish environment, soul recognition occurred. The same signatures I had encountered in other lifetimes were present here, some as fellow perpetrators, others as victims, all of us playing roles in a cosmic drama designed to explore the deepest questions about forgiveness and redemption. The guilt from this lifetime was oceanic in scope, a shame so profound it had coloured every subsequent incarnation with feelings of unworthiness. But the regression revealed the larger spiritual purpose. Some souls agreed to play the darkest roles to facilitate collective learning about the ultimate triumph of love over fear. Today I was reading from Shannon Cain's book, Journey of an Eternal Soul. My Journey Through Past Lives to Spiritual Awakening. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And my book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is on Amazon. I've sold over 2,000 copies and it has over 50 five-star reviews. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up to Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.